So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey everybody, it is Tommy Freedom coming at you loud and clear. I'll be around for the next half hour, so don't go anywhere. Now, I am back in the studio this week after several weeks of some just really excruciating pain from everything that was going on in my mouth with the infection. So, I had the two teeth pulled out last Monday, and that afternoon after the numbing agent had worn off my face to where I could speak somewhat coherently, I went ahead and did an update, which I will play here momentarily. But I'm at least able to speak now. I still do have some wear on the side of my tongue that's causing some swelling issues, but not as bad as it had been. See, apparently, in addition to having the broken tooth and having the wisdom tooth taken out, the infection was caused by plaque buildup under the gum. And the pain that I was feeling initially, a sharp pain, was where the plaque had built up so much it was actually growing through the gum and starting to protrude out through the surface. So that's what was scratching my tongue. Every time I would swallow, my tongue would move up against this plaque that was sticking out and just shred it. So I finally got in there with a flashlight and a dental pick and got underneath and hooked the major one out. There's still one behind it that's causing a little bit of discomfort, which I'm going to try and get out later on today. But anyway, this was me when I got back from the dentist's office last Monday. Hey folks, this is Tommy Freedom. This is Monday, March the 12th. It is now 2:30 in the afternoon. I went to the dentist this morning at 8 o'clock. Both my teeth were removed at 9 o'clock a.m. So less than 5 hours later, you can already hear the difference in my voice. When they pulled the teeth, they got rid of the infections. My tongue is already starting to go down, although I still have a little bit of residual the numbing agent that was injected into my jaw, because I apparently my body processes this stuff really, really quickly. So 15 minutes after the first set of injections, I was already starting to get feeling back into my tongue. And so they came in and they gave me a really heavy duty injection that just completely numbed everything. The entire right side of my face was numb all the way up into my scalp. I could not feel anything in my lower lip, but it's all coming back. And at this point, I have no pain in my gums. This dentist was really, really good. He sutured everything up, and I can feel everything back in my tongue and everything inside. And folks, there is no pain in my gums, so this is kind of a live feedback that is going to be introduced into next week's show, which you are listening to at this point in time. But you can already hear the difference in my voice. My tongue is working well. I'm not experiencing any pain. And I just want to say, if you are anywhere in the Charlotte area in North Carolina, Lake Norman Dentistry, they are tops. So back now to the show. So that was me last Monday after I got back from the dentist a few hours later. And you could still hear that my face was still somewhat numb there, that my tongue and my lip still hadn't quite come back. But fortunately, that's all behind me now. Hopefully, this will start to clear up because this has just been horrible, not being able to speak properly. And apparently, it's been going on for a while because I go back and I listen to some shows over the past month or so, well, now coming up on 2+ months, where I could hear that my tongue just wasn't moving properly and just never even realized what was going on until I had this whole issue with the infection. It made me aware that something was going on there. So I will be glad when this is finally over and done with, because I've had nothing but trouble since this whole thing started. And even when I got back from the dentist the next morning, in addition to having my tongue just completely shredded by that piece of tartar that was sticking out that I didn't realize for 4 days was the actual culprit, something else was poking the underside of my tongue, which turned out to be one of the sutures was sticking up. It hadn't been pulled down all the way. It was loose. So less than 24 hours after having the sutures put in, I sterilized a pair of scissors, reached in there, snipped the suture, then reached in with a pair of forceps, grabbed the thread, and pulled it out. So fortunately, I healed quickly. So there was still another suture in the back. So it didn't open back up. It was fine, but I think it kind of shocked the dentist when I sent them an email telling them what I had to do there. They didn't reply, so apparently they didn't feel there was any danger. So hopefully by next week, this whole thing will be gone, and I'll sound even better. So let's start with the show off here. Obviously, I want to talk about that serious failure of construction that happened in Miami last week. Now, this thing is just completely inexcusable. I mean, this company, Munilla, obviously pronounced Munilla Construction, Hispanic-owned company, probably employed all kinds of Hispanics, a lot of them probably undocumented from Mexico. This company has offices in Miami, Texas, and I want to say Panama. It's somewhere south of Mexico, I do know that, but I want to say it was Panama. So this is a company that probably started there and then came up here because of the huge Hispanic population in the Miami-Dade area. So at this point, they had recovered all of the bodies. It was a total of 8 people that were killed. 4 of them were construction workers that were on the bridge when it came down. And let's see, another one was a student that was driving, I think. Someone else was driving, so the two people in cars were killed, which is amazing that not more people were killed. This was a very busy road. It was 6 lanes wide, folks. So be thankful that more people weren't killed in this. Now, of all the people that were killed, I'll pull up a list later on and read who these victims were. But only one of them was white. So if there's any blessing in this whatsoever, that's that we didn't lose more people ourselves. But this company apparently has a history of this happening before. Last year or 2 years ago in Virginia, the same company, Munilla Construction, had a similar thing happen. And again, people on the bridge, luckily in that instance, were injured. They weren't killed, but they got hurt. But this has happened before. Now, you would think, would that be considered a red flag, perhaps, that this has happened before? I mean, we all know that Airbus has more planes crash than any other manufacturer in the world. So I don't fly. If my ticket says it's going to be an Airbus, if I see the plane starts with A, I get a different ticket. I get a different flight. I refuse to fly Airbus. They just are dangerous. That's a red flag to me that so many of the planes that crash, the majority of them are Airbuses. So if a company has a history where accidents like this have happened before, you might want to think twice before employing them to do the job. The only problem with that is there's this little pesky federal law in there that says that you must take the cheapest bid. That's the law. Now, initially, this was done to avoid nepotism from these politicians colluding with their brother or family members or friends to come in and charge exorbitant prices, give them a kickback, and they would get the contracts. Well, this law was done because initially it seemed like a good idea at the time, as most ideas or bills or laws that are thought of and passed hastily turn out in the long run to be bad things. Because now we are forced to take the cheapest company with the shoddiest construction. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but the infrastructure, I kind of want some quality in there. I don't want shoddy workmanship, particularly when it comes to bridges or buildings. Now, in the late 1970s, the Hartford Civic Center collapsed under a snowfall for this exact reason. The company that bid with U.S. Steel. They, however, purchased cheaper Japanese steel, which is now Chinese steel is the equivalent. Back then, the cheap stuff was Japanese, and it was crap. It was garbage. There was all kinds of stuff that was in the steel that made it structurally, what's the word I'm looking for? Help me out here, George. Deficient. Thank you. I don't know why it didn't come. But anyway, that's usually what causes these fails, is the fact that nowadays they're using Chinese steel. Now, this bridge gave way after they began tightening the cables, and witnesses who were there heard what sounded like gunshots or explosions going off as those cables snapped. So I would be willing to venture a guess, and hey, if I'm wrong, I will admit it down the road, but I'd almost be willing to bet that they used Chinese cables instead of American steel rope. Would not surprise me one bit. So here you have a company using, in all likelihood, inferior quality products, using inferior quality help, because like I said, I'm willing to bet that a lot of those workers are illegal aliens, and they're not undocumented, they're illegal, they're criminals, they're here illegally. I'm willing to bet that that was a huge contributor to it as well. People just did not know what they were looking at. And as far as knowing what they were looking at, let me just pull this up here real quick. Where'd that story go? Okay. Let's see. I want to name the victims here so that somebody at least gives them some credit for what happened to them. Because whether they're white or not, they've got families that are missing them too. So police identified the four victims. Oswald Gonzalez was 57, Alberto Arias was 53, Rolando Fraga Hernandez, and Navarro Brown, who had been working on the bridge at the time of the collapse. And Alexa Duran was an 18-year-old FIU student, and she was also identified by her family as one of the victims. Now, I don't see the sixth victim's name here, but anyway, that just at least gives their names out there. So investigations are currently underway into the cause of this collapse, but you know, here's where you get another red flag, folks. It says here in this article, in the days before the accident, a crack in the structure had been noticed and reported to state officials by a lead engineer for the FIGG FIG Bridge Group, which was the company that designed the walkway. The engineer said at the time, however, that safety was not a concern. Really? Anytime you have a crack in something structural, that's a huge concern. And it goes on to say, in the hours before the bridge collapse, members of the bridge design team, including employees from FIU, FIG, and the Munia Construction Company held a meeting to discuss the crack, but concluded that there were no safety hazards. Wow, really, no safety hazards. You wouldn't consider the fact that this thing could fall down a potential hazard? Well, somebody is going to lose their job over this, and I hope some people lose their freedom over it too, because I do know that the police were actively investigating this as a homicide case. So, folks, don't be surprised if some sort of manslaughter charges are brought against some of these people and these companies. And you know what? It's about damn time. Some of these people act as though the law does not apply to them, that somehow they are above or outside of it somehow. That's just not the case. When your actions are negligent and result in the death of someone, you need to be held not only civilly responsible, but criminally as well. Now last year, I think it was last year, that Jew somewhere up in the Northeast that contaminated all the medicine with meningitis, he went to prison for it. He's going to be there an awful long time. I hope that happens to some of these people with these companies that were responsible for this. Obviously, there's going to be massive lawsuits, but there needs to be criminal investigations and criminal trials and criminal convictions. And this happens in the transportation industry. I used to drive a tractor and trailer for several years, and the last company that I worked for before I decided to just say the heck with it because of all the new regulations that have been passed. I still do have my license, and I can use it if I ever want to again. It's just that I haven't wanted to for the past 15 years. But the last company that I drove for had an issue a few years earlier where a guy had driven down to Myrtle Beach for the weekend with his wife, had driven back, and then immediately went to work. So he had been up for like 18 or 20 hours. He was involved in a crash that resulted in fatalities, and he was prosecuted for it, as well as his dispatcher for sending him out knowing full well that he had just spent all that time awake. So I don't know if it was a he or a she, but that dispatcher did get jail time for their actions, and that's exactly what I think needs to happen here. Somebody was negligent, woefully, very... very, very negligent, and they need to pay for that. So I gotta take a break here. I'll be back in a couple minutes, folks. Don't go anywhere.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective. Gay pride days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Thank you. Join Canadian Association for Freedom of Expression director Paul Fromm for Walking on the Fighting Side of Me. That's The Fighting Side of Me with Canadian Association of Freedom of Expression, Paul Fromm, only on KKKRadio.com.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Okay, so I spent the first part of the show talking about some bad news, for the most part. Teeth and bridge collapses. But listener Mike up in New York has sent me a link to an article that is some good news for a change, and I want to share this with you folks. It's in regards to the two memorials in Charlottesville, Virginia, that were tarped over last year, which led to the whole protest that resulted in the death and the whole national scandal that's been going on regarding the Confederate flag and Confederate monuments and memorials and the like. So let me go ahead and read this article for you, because it's some good news. So apparently this whole debacle up there has been going on since last August when the statues were tarped. But Judge Richard Moore has ruled during a circuit court hearing a couple of weeks ago that the tarps covering the Confederate monuments of military generals Robert E. Lee and Thomas Jonathan Stonewall Jackson must be removed. The city will have 15 days to do so once a formal court order is filed. Now, Judge Moore had delayed the decision earlier this month, stating that he had a lot to consider. The hearing was connected to an ongoing lawsuit from early 2017, that opposes a controversial Charlottesville City Council vote to remove the statues. See, that's what started the whole thing, folks. Once again, these politicians not minding their own business and trying to be politically correct. So attorney Ralph Main said it will happen very soon, meaning the tarps removal. The order has been drafted and circulated through the attorneys, and then it will have to be presented to the judge. But the city council unanimously ordered the two statues, sorry, my tongue's getting poked again here, located in Emancipation and Justice Parks, respectively, to be covered by black mourning shrouds on August 21st following the Unite the Right rally on August 12th that left 32-year-old Heather Heyer dead. City officials did not clarify at the time how long the shrouds would stay up. Well, to them, that would be indefinitely. Now, the city manager, a guy by the name of Maurice Jones, has testified that the city spent $3,000 on each tarp and purchased six or seven of them. Now, some of these tarps have disappeared in the past 6 months, which has burdened the city with replacement costs. See, again, folks, these things, that it's just excess money that didn't need to be spent. Now, the city says that although they're disappointed with the ruling, they intend to respect the court's decision, according to a formal statement released last Tuesday. Yeah, they better respect it. It's called the law. Now, get this, folks. There are about 700 Confederate statues in the U.S., according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, opponents of these statues have generally called them testaments to lingering racism and white supremacy, while supporters say they are protected war monuments that are an indelible part of history, which is correct. Now, President Donald Trump, boy, this tongue is really getting me, folks, tweeted his support of the Charlottesville monuments soon after the Unite the Right rally, saying, "Who's next? Washington? Jefferson? So foolish." And he is absolutely correct in that. So, you know, it's not just the monuments, folks. There's over 700 of them, but that's not the only thing that honors the South. Let me just give you a list of how many things in this country are actually named after the Confederacy or after Confederate generals or Confederate soldiers. So in addition to these 700 monuments and statues that the Southern Poverty Law Center has indicated, there are these Confederate symbols that are located across the country. Because it's not just the monuments that are memorializing all of our Confederate heroes. There are at least 98 counties across 16 states, 10 army bases, 109 public schools, 7 university buildings, 27 parks, 4 bridges, 4 lakes, 1 hospital, 1 church, 3 dams, 1 forest, 2 trees, 495 roads, 1 mountain, and a carving on a whole different mountain, which we of course all know is Stone Mountain outside of Atlanta, Georgia, which unfortunately now has been taken over by a public entity. It is now a public park, and aside from the giant carving itself, they have removed all Confederate honorable mentions. They no longer sell Confederate flags at the gift shop. They've covered over with benches all the states that had seceded from the Union, and it's just an absolute disgrace. But I thought that was a pretty good list of things there. I actually had no idea that there were that many places located around this country that were named after Confederate heroes. So that's good to know. Eventually, they will probably all be renamed due to political correctness, but at least for now, there's a ton of stuff out there, and they've got to work like hell to try and overturn it. Now, after this whole debacle up there in Virginia, where it really started with the statues being covered and then taken down and toppled and vandalized, and just being removed in general across Alabama, I believe it was, the state of North Carolina did pass legislation last year that makes it a crime to take down a Confederate or any kind of a monument, an existing monument, from public property. So kudos to our conservative lead in the House and the Senate here in the state of North Carolina. They did what the people want, and North Carolina is still generally a red state. Charlotte has turned blue simply because of all the people that came down here from New York and New Jersey and moved into the area and pretty much took it over. But the rest of North Carolina is still a fairly red state, and we do hold both the House and the Senate here in North Carolina, as we do in Washington. So hopefully they will continue to vote through common sense laws like that. Well, folks, I am out of time. Oh, I want to thank listener Mike once again for sending me the link to that article. He's going to actually be a contributor here to the show. And the beginning of each month from here on out, starting in April, I will be naming off a list of white accomplishments that have happened for the month. And that's courtesy of listener Mike up in New York. And again, if you have anything that you want aired on the show, you can always get in touch with me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. So until next week, my friends, y'all take care. This has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.